أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And the surah we're going to do today is Surah At-Taghabun. It's just phenomenal, like all the others. But this one is just something else. 18 ayat. It's a Madani surah. It's part of the Musabbihat, which we've been looking at. And the last one we're going to do next week is 87. But I mean, At-Taghabun is just something else. So let's just look at it. First of all, its address in Quran City is, the postcode is 62-64-61. So you can see Jumu'ah is before it as far as the chronological revelation goes. And then you have 61 after it. And we've looked at all those 61, and so you can see they're all there in a line. But literally, Jumu'ah was revealed before At-Taghabun and Saf afterwards. Focus. It's about the final results. That's what At-Taghabun means. At-Taghabun means your final results, your final loss or your final gain. After all, everything has been added up in the world. So it's a day of accountability. It's maintaining faith through suffering. There's challenges in the family and we'll find solutions. And basically it tells you, if you're selfless, then there is divine success. And if you look at it, this is a Madani surah. And in a Madani surah, you'll find lots of going back to basics, but it's literally a refresher course. And I guess all of us need it at some point. Benefits of recitation, there's intercession to Jannah if recited in wajib salah. It becomes an intercessor. There's safety at the time of death and protection from tyranny. Very many times we don't recite this surah. We know very little about it. But to recite it all the time, get used to it for reciting it when things go difficult. And this is a surah like that. So we've divided it into five sections. I'm going to look at the first section, which is ayah 1 to 4. I'm going to look at it verse by verse so we can see what it's talking about. So the first ayah says, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Yusabbihu is to declare perfection. Tasbih is, we talked about sabaha, and this is part of the musabbihat. So everything in the heavens and the earth declare his perfection. Lahul mulk, he owns everything. He owns the kingdom. He owns all creation. Walahul hamd, praise and gratitude are only for him. And that's why 10 times a day we say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. And he has control over everything. Now, this might sound, well, I've heard it all before, I do it all before, but this is really, really important to be able to believe in this, that he has power over everything. What he does happens. What he doesn't do does not happen. Huwa alladhi. Now he's describing himself. Who is he? Huwa alladhi khalaqakum. It is he who has created you. فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرْ وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنْ. So he gave you and me free will. لَكَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. I made you in the best of makes. And then I gave you free will. We read it in Surah Al-Mulk. تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِي الْمُلْكُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. And second ayah tells us that you can be thankful or you can be unthankful. So he's saying, when I gave you that free will, some of you covered up the truth and some of you trusted in me. Amana is to trust. Belief is trust. Wallahu bima ta'amaluna basir. And Allah is absolutely, he perceives everything. He sees everything you do. Khalaqa as-samawati wal arda bil haqq. He created the heavens and the earth with truth, which means there was a purpose for creation. Now he says, وَصَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ الْصُوَرَكُمْ. He, how beautifully, Hassan, he made you, he personalized you in the most beautiful of ways. He made you individual. Taswir, you know, is a picture. So you were picture perfect for him. Doesn't matter whether you were short, tall, brown, white, black, whatever color your eyes were, however you were made, he made you picture perfect. So his creation of you was perfect. If you and I didn't look after ourselves, that's a different thing altogether. But when he created us perfect. وَإِلَيْهِ الْمَصِيرُ. And to him is the ultimate return. Now, lots of questions come up here. If you made me picture perfect, what about people who have, who are created with challenges? And I will use my granddaughter as an example. My granddaughter has severe cerebral palsy. And when lots of questions come into the mind, but she's picture perfect. And it reminds me of somebody that my sister-in-law met many, many years ago when she used to take her son for therapy. And there was a child who was severely challenged, couldn't walk, talk, just as my granddaughter can't, can talk only with her eyes. She cannot hold her head up properly. And my sister-in-law asked this lady, and she said, "I don't understand. I see you in town. I see you everywhere. And you take this child around. You want everybody to see her. Why? Don't you want to hide her?" And this is a natural thing that people do. And this lady said, "No." She said, "Because this child is a reminder of divinity. She's perfect. Whenever somebody sees her, they will either do shukr, they will do thanks to Allah, that Allah has given them what He has given them, or they will pray for her. And in both instances, she's a reminder of divinity." And I never forgot that. And when I see my granddaughter, my goodness, she's absolutely perfect because she reminds you of divinity in no other ways. No other way at all. So when he says, "Wasawwarakum fa ahsana suwarakum," with all our faults, with all our disabilities, with all our, whatever you want to call it, challenges, there is ability through there. There is something perfect about it that he has done. Wa ilayhi al-masir. And to him is the return at the end of the day. So now I look at her, I'm actually quite envious of her, because I think, my God, she'd never be able to lie. She'll never cheat. She'll never hurt someone. Isn't that an amazing place to be? But that's something to think about. So, ilayhi al-masir, and to him is the return. Now, ya'alamu, he knows. Ma fis samawati wal-ard. He knows exactly what's in the heavens and the earth. I and you don't know, therefore we have to verbalize it sometimes. He knows my thoughts, he knows what I think. Because he says, wa ya'alamu ma tusirruna. He knows my secrets. وَتُعْلِنُونَ Elan, you know, is to say it out loud. He knows what I manifest and what I hide. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ He knows what is in my sadr. Sadr is the square, or I can say the area around my heart. I'm going to just draw a circle, which makes it a bit easier. And maybe you can see it there. It's a heart with a circle. I don't know whether you can see it. You probably can't see it. Let me try and do it on white paper. So you can see it. No, you can't see it there either. So anyway, if you can imagine your heart and it has a circle around it, then that area around the heart is known as sadr. It's translated as chest. But that's where all your emotions are. That's where all the waswas is. That's where everything. And he says, he knows what inspires you. He knows what comes into your thoughts. He knows what's in your mind. But the reason why we verbalize is because we don't know ourselves. And the moment you verbalize it, it makes a difference. Now, next section. So this was his introduction. He knows all that, and we'll cover it later. We'll go back to it so we can summarize it. Section two, if you look at your buildings that you have in front of you, it's now talking about covering up the truth. He says, أَلَمْ يَعْتِكُمْ نَبَأُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ Have you not heard the stories of those who covered up the truth before you? And that is why it's important we look at the past prophets. They said, look at them. فَذَاكُوا They tasted. وَبَالَ أَمْرِهِمْ They tasted the... Baal is the awful, the catastrophic consequences, amrihim, of their decisions. Amr is an order, of their orders to themselves. If you look at past societies, we will see people like the Bilu'ad and Thamud, even Fir'aun, if you look, even Yazid in our times. When I say our times, it's well after the Prophet. We look at Saddam, we look at all these people. Allah says, have you just not looked at those stories of those who covered up the truth? They tasted the catastrophic results of their decisions. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ And they had such a painful punishment. History is there to look back at and see, well, am I doing the same things? Now, I'm looking at personalities that probably killed thousands of people. But any personality in our lives who kills a heart, kills anything, you're going to look at that and think, do I want to be there? ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُ كَانَتْ تَعْتِيهِمْ رُسُلُهُمْ So what happened? Messengers came to them, bil bayyinat, with clear proofs, with absolute clarity. فقالوا, look what they said. Is this what you say? Is this what I say? He says, they said, أَبَشَرٌ يَهَدُونَنَا? You mean a human being will guide us? So they couldn't understand why somebody who looked like them, walked like them, talked like them, went to the markets would say he was a guide. More than that, he was below the status that they imagined a person would be. So they wanted somebody who had loads of degrees behind his name. They wanted somebody who was part of their high society. And they couldn't understand why this orphan, this person who had nothing, I'm talking about the Prophet, actually comes up to them and says, I will guide you. They just couldn't understand it. They needed somebody of their status to come and tell them that. That's why they say in the Quran, Allah quotes them when they say, why couldn't the four major people in Arabia, the ones that we looked up to as our leaders, why couldn't they be a messenger? Why did it have to be Muhammad? So Allah said, because of that, because of their pride, فَكَفَرُوا, they covered up the truth. وَتَوَلَّوا, and they turned back. They didn't want to listen to him. وَاسْتَغْنَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. But Allah does not need you. Allah is not, He's not in need of anyone. وَاللَّهُ غَنِيٌ حَمِيدٌ. He is self-sufficient and praised. So they rejected the messenger because he didn't match up to their expectations. In their heads, somebody who brought guidance should be somebody whom they looked up to. In our heads, suited, booted, all the rest of it. And I tell this story because I tell it all the time. Some of you have heard me, but I'm going to tell you this. In Kachi, when somebody is not suited, booted, and they dress with, they wear flip flops, which we do in lockdown actually, and they have their shirt outside their trousers, they don't tuck them in, they don't wear ties. We call them Alai. Alai means simple person. Literally, it's Allahi. I remember going back to my childhood that when there were floods in Moshi and Arusha, the graveyard in Arusha had got flooded. And my father, he died when I was 10, so you can imagine I was really young. And my father went to help to sort out the graves there. And when he came back, he was in shock. And he just sat down for a while. And I still remember that scene, him sitting down. I said, what's the matter? And he said, what I saw today just changed me. He said, the caretaker of the mosque in Arusha was known as an Allahi man, Allahi man. Okay. And everybody sort of, he had to clean the toilets. He had to fill the water pots in the toilet. He looked after everyone. And everybody saw him as somebody who wasn't educated, you know, somebody who was simple, a simpleton as such. Yet my father had the opportunity to sort out his grave. And he said, when he moved the earth, it was as though, and he'd been buried for many, many years before, it looked as though he was just sleeping there, as though nothing had even touched his coffin. It's really important to understand their pride that he wasn't like them. And is that why we don't listen? I don't know. Watawala, they turned back. And Allah said he doesn't need us. He doesn't need any of our obedience. Now, second thing. That was the first problem. Their pride against the messenger. The second one. Za'ama alladhina kafaru. Za'ama is to confidently assume. So their perception, they were confident about their perfection. Za'ama alladhina kafaru. The perception of those who covered up the truth was that an lan yab'athu, that they will never be raised. They were so sure that these bones that they could crush in their hands. How could these be raised? So they did not believe in the akhirah. That was their second problem. Qul, tell them, Muhammad, bala wa rabbi, I swear by my Rabb. I swear by him. Now, we've talked about oaths before when we did an introduction to Quran City. And an oath, the subject of the, or the object is the proof of the subject. So the object of the oath is Allah. And the proof, the object is the proof of the subject. The subject is the day of Qiyamah, or the days of the being resurrected. So he says, I swear by my Rabb, لَتُبْعَثُنَّ, you will definitely be raised. So if ever we had a doubt that we will be raised, just go look at Ayah 7. ثُمَّ, what will happen? لَتُنَبَّعُنَّ بِمَا عَمِلْتُمْ, we will be told of what we did. Simple as that. Naba is news. And it's leading up to results. We'll be told, this is your life. This is what you did. And he says, وَذَلِكَ لَلَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. And that is so easy for Allah. It's not difficult at all. Today, we can understand. Maybe they couldn't understand at that time. Today, if I want to get my records for God knows how many years from wherever, I just have to pull it out from the internet. It's so much easier. Everything I've done, banking system, whatever you want records, just go. You can pull it all out. It's amazing. So it's something we need to understand. So how do I do this? How do I believe? So this is an invitation to believe, even to those who covered up the truth. Allah says you need to do three things. فَآمِنُوا. Believe in Allah. That is why 86 chapters of the Quran are on usul. Tawheed, Adala, Nubuwa, Imam al-Qiyam. فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ. Believe in Him. Then believe وَرَسُولِهِ. Believe in the Messenger. وَالنُّورِ الَّذِي أَنزَلْنَا. And the light which we have revealed, which means the Quran. Believe in the Quran that was revealed to him. It's the guidance. This was normally be told to somebody in Mecca. It's basics, but this is what I said. It's like a refresher course. Believe in Allah. Believe in the Messenger. Believe in the Quran. Wallahu bima ta'maluna khabir. He is absolutely aware of what you do. Now we go to section 3. So we're going to look at section 3, which now talks about Daghabun. So the day of total gain, total loss, basically day of results. So what does he say? Yawma yajma'akum liyawmil jam'i. Yawma, on that day. Yajma'un jama'a. On that day, he will get you together. Liyawmil jam'i. We will all get together as a jama'a. Now, we did 62. And if you looked at 62, it talked about jama'a. Same sort of, the root word is the same, to get together. On the day, we will get you all together. And ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ التَّغَابُونَ. That will be the day, that will be the result today. Final results. وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ. So now, what works? Whoever believes in Allah and manifests his belief, وَيَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا. By being able to do good. Suleh is to put two things together. If something's broken and you put it together, that's good deed. Somebody needs something and you fill their need, you put them together, that's salih. You know, it's that good deeds are, it's really a generic word, good deeds. But ya'amal, amila salihan, is to be able to put something together, to fulfill something, to join it together. So what will he do if you do that? Yukaffir anhu sayyi'atihi. He will cover up all your mistakes. Everything that was done, your evil, your mistakes, he will remove. When you say remove, kafara is to cover up. He will cover them up because of what you did. وَيُدْخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِ مِنْ تَحْتِيَ الْأَنْهَارِ. And he will enter you in this is Jannah with تَحْتِيَ الْأَنْهَارِ. We all know about that. But look what he says. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبْدًا. You will remain in there. Now it's plural. Abadan, forever, dhalikal fawzul azim. That is the great achievement. In the first instance, وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَيَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا, it's individual. So to get to Jannah, or in other words, to get to, if I can say, the pleasure of Allah, or to get to success, I have to be individual. But when I get there, I will be in company. And we understand this in lockdown. If we didn't have... Forget about meeting people. We don't do that. But if we didn't have even Zoom sessions or any sessions where we meet, you imagine the loneliness that would be instilled in us. He says, individually, your individual results will result in you getting there, but you will go in there together. If it was individual, it would say, Khalidan fiha. It says, Khalidina fiha. These are the subtleties of the Arabic language. So Khalidina fiha means you will all go there together. So the results, you will enter in company of like-minded people. And that is the greatest of achievements. That's why community is a phenomenal part of who we are. You can't do things on your own. If you had the biggest of mansions, the biggest of whatever, call it your Jannah in the world, and you lived all alone, and you had no contact with anybody else, that's not Jannah. That's more like Jahannam. That solitary confinement in a beautiful place, it makes no difference. Jannah is about being together. And although the road there is individualistic, togetherness is how it works. Then he says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Those who cover up the truth. وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا and they reject our signs. أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ they are the inmates of Nar. Again, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا they will be together. وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ and it is awful. And you want to really go through that and don't want to look at it at all. Now we come to section 4. So what does he say? What do I do? Where will this come from? Where are my tests? What's happening? How will I get through this? What is success? Now he says, Ma asaba min musibatin. Musiba is a targeted event. Need not be bad only. It's targeted. Means it knows exactly where to get to. Asaba is to fire an arrow to its exact mark. Whenever I look at Musiba and Asaba, I think of darts. You probably see them playing them and they actually want to get bullseye. This is bullseye. Musiba, bullseye. There is no Musiba, no event, no affliction, no calamity, no good. Good becomes a calamity sometimes as well. There is no affliction that comes to you illa bi'ithnillah. Nothing comes to you except with the permission of Allah. Two things. One is the consequence of my actions. That's different. So if I didn't brush my teeth are going to hurt. I ate too many sweets, fizzy drinks, didn't, so on and so forth. But when something happens, which just gets me, which I have no control over, it's musiba illa bi'ithnillah. So he says, when this comes to you, and somebody's actions you cannot control. So when this comes to you, it will come with Allah's permission. Now what do I do? So he sent me this affliction. Now what do I do? How do I get through this? He says, وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ If you can survive this, whatever that's happened, if you can survive it with belief, that means you survive it through believing Him, يَحْدِي قَلْبَهُ He will give you the guidance in your heart. And the greatest gift in life is guidance to the heart. You all had that little pink heart when the Prophet says about the Quran. It's beautiful. Walzam kalbi, make the book be part of my heart as you have taught me. That's what this is talking about. That's a gift of God. Yahdi kalbahu, He will guide your heart provided you maintain your faith. Most people, and I say most, many, okay, not most, many people lose their faith when they are struck by a difficulty. We are blessed because we follow the Ahlul Bayt. And they tell us when you have a calamity, turn to dua. Turn to your musalla. And this surah tells you why they taught us this, or this ayah particularly. Allahu bi kulli shayin aleem. And Allah knows everything. He is not oblivious to your pain. He knows what's hurting you. He knows what's happening to you. All He wants you to do is hold on. Look at every single prophet. Ayyub, Yaqub, Yusuf. Look at all the masumeen. Whether you take them from Muhammad right down to Hassan al-Askari. You could say, look at all of them. All of them went through such difficult times. And people tell me that they are suffering or something's happened to them because they were bad. My goodness, they obviously haven't looked at this. I mean, look at the example of Prophet Yusuf, for example. Many of the Mufassirin mentioned it. What did he do wrong? He was kidnapped. He was sold. He was falsely accused. He was in prison. His father didn't see him for a long time. He lost his son. Look at Sayyida Zainab. What did she do wrong? She had to go through all that. Yet she says, Ma ra'aytu illa jamila. I saw nothing but beauty. This is the ayah that tells you and me how to behave. In other words, it tells me I got to believe. Now, how do I believe? Because that's hard too. What do I do? I'll see it in a minute. He says, Wa ati Allah wa ati Rasul. You want to believe? It means obey Allah and obey the messenger. فَإِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ But if you turn back, فَإِنَّمَا عَلَىٰ رَسُولِنَا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ The messenger only has to get you the message. He can't force you to do anything. So he can take me to the water, but he can't make me drink it. So that's my solution. That's the how. And then he continues to say, اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ Allah, there is no God but He. That is now alluding to Asma al-Husna. Inshallah, one day we will do them and how we live them. Because the Prophet says, تَخَلُّكُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ So he said, adopt in yourself the akhlaq of Allah. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ And trust in Allah. I saw a beautiful talk by Sayyid Nasrullah. Many of you might have seen it. I'm trying to find the Asma al-Husna that he wrote, but maybe I'll put it for you. And he put it really well. He said, have trust in God. Lock yourself up in a room. Talk to God. Just talk to him in your language. Because he said God was Rahman and Latif and Ghafoor and Qadir and Wadud and Alim and Ghani and Shafi and Latif and Wali. In this small 2-minute talk, he used all these names. Jawad and Sami and Basir and Qadir and Hakim and Kareem. And these are the names that will come up in Amal Yom Dawud. Inshallah, talk about it when we finish. Okay, now what happens? Where does this difficulty come from? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, or you who believe. Inna min azwajikum, from your spouses. It's not wives, by the way, azwaj is spouses. Wa awladikum, your children. He says, aduhul lakum. They're enemies for you. Now, what does that mean? What it's not an enemy. They're not going to do anything to you as we see enemy in our head. He says, they will be those who will take you away from divinity. They will be those through their love, through their beautiful talk, they will move you away. Oh, please, I need a place at school. Please, can you use your influence? Please, can you help me with my test? Maybe we could buy the answers. This is all adu. Your children and your spouses, they will beautifully take you away from Allah, he says. So what do I do if they do that? I'm stuck. Maybe somebody in my household doesn't pray. What do I do? Do I force them? They get even more angry. He just says, fahadharhum, fahadharuhum. Be aware of them. But this is what you're supposed to do. Three things. Wa in ta'fu, wa tasfahu, wa taghfir. Remember these three things. Ta'fu, wa tasfahu, wa taghfir. The first thing is ta'fu. Forgive them. Forgive them with love. Not just, I forgive you. Forgive them with love. God has given them free will. That's what he gave them. They will realize soon enough. I was speaking to somebody the other day and I said, our children, because we put the love of the Ahlul Bayt in them, you know, they drank our milk. We put this love into them. They're not going anywhere. They might move away a bit, but they will come back. Just trust in that. That Allah will forgive them just now. They're just finding their way. What tasfahu comes from safaha. Safaha means to turn a page. Let it go. Turn the page. Turn the page means you don't look behind. Don't go back. Bury it in the deepest of oceans and say no fishing. That's tasfah. Part of ta'fu as well, by the way. Wa taghfir. And cover up for them. Be a helmet for them. Don't expose them. When you need to talk to somebody, but make sure it's somebody that you can trust and who will keep your kernels and throw away your husk. But cover up for them. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. And Allah is غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ for you. It's amazing. And by the way, that thing at the bottom shouldn't say her. Azwaj is not wives. It's spouses. Anybody there. So I go again. Three things. تَسْفَهُ تَعْفُ وَتَسْفَهُ وَتَغْفِرُ. That's what you're supposed to do. The most difficult things in the world. And then he says, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. Indeed, amongst your wealth and your children, there is a difficult test. Really difficult. Fatana means to purify gold. You know how gold is purified? My goodness. It goes through so much. It's so difficult. Wallahu indahu ajrun adhim. But with Allah is the greatest of rewards. It's what you did, how much you tried. You tried your best. That's it. As long as every day you can stand on your musalla, put your hand on your chest and say, I did my best. That's enough. That's all he wants. Results are up to him. Do your best. Wa ufawidhu amri ila Allah, inna Allaha basirun bil ibad. Hand it over to him. We'll sort it out. So, now what do I do? Fattakullah. Be God conscious. Mastata'tum. To the best of your ability. You can only do as much as you can. Wasma'u. Listen. Listen to what? Listen to the guidance. Listen to the words of the Prophet. Listen to the words of God. Wa'ati'u. To your best to follow them. Wa'anfiku. Spend out of whatever you have. Infaq is the remedy for nifaq. So, hypocrisy can only be conquered by giving out as much as possible. In other words, share. So, وَأَنْفِكُوا خَيْرًا لِأَنْفُسِكُمْ. That is better for your soul. وَمَنْ يُكَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ. Now, yuka comes from wikaya, to protect. One who is able to protect himself or herself from shuhha, from the greed of his soul, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. They have been successful. If I can protect myself from I, from me, from self-obsession, then I have made it. It's if I can be selfless. It's the ayah of Quran, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تَحِبُّونَ. You will never achieve righteousness until you spend out in the way of Allah what you love the most. It's about being selfless. It's about giving. I say normally when you have children, when you have a family, you don't have to have children, but if you have a family with you, then 99% of the time you've got to understand that you forget who you are. You are now in charge of a family and it is your duty to keep that family together. And that's what success is all about. That's what life is all about. So he says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. They're the ones who are successful. He didn't say those who are, you know, please get educated, do all the rest. He didn't talk about any of that. He talked about basics here. And then he says, إِن تُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. If you are able to give a qardh hasana, if you can give somebody something without any condition, without any ties, again, I come back to selflessness. And you could say the loans that you give in charity, but let's put that on one side. We're looking here. If you can give Allah, and which means humanity, something where you don't give them any conditions, no ties, including your family. I did this, therefore you should do this. We didn't. If you leave all that alone, he says, يُذَاعِفْهُ لَكُمْ. He will just increase it. It's not doubling. يُذَاعِفْ is he will just give you loads instead. You know, like it will just multiply it a billion times. A billion is a number. I would say zillion. That's a number. He will multiply to Jannah and beyond with a number that you don't even know. Times infinity. If you can give out of yourself without expecting anything in return, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. And he will cover you. He will cover. He will have your back. وَاللَّهُ شَكُورٌ حَلِيمٌ. He, oh my goodness, he's thankful. Can you imagine? He's a multiplier. Shukr. Can you imagine Allah saying thank you to me and you just because we were selfless? Haleem. Haleem is like, in Kachi we say khichdi. Now the soft, really soft rice. His soup is that soft. He will be that soft on you. What else would you and I want? We want our sins to be forgiven. We want multiplication of the little things that we do. And he says, I will do that if you give without expecting anything back. Alimul ghaybi wa shahada. And he knows. He knows what is unseen and what is seen. Al-Azizul Hakim. He's the mighty and he's the wise. It's an absolutely phenomenal surah. It's just amazing. So let's just go over it a little bit. Look at the five sections. This is just the narrative that you see. We've got some selected ayah there, but I'm going to go right back to the beginning and just go over all those sections with you. Okay, so let's go over that. So the first section, all creation declares its perfection of this awesome creator. And we went through all the different aspects of this creator. It tells us about covering up the truth, what that was. There was two things. They could not understand their pride against the Prophet, and they didn't believe in Akhirah, which is in essence accountability. The day of Qiyamah is the day of results. That's Yawmul Taghabun. Section 4 is talking about nothing afflicts me without his permission. How do I deal with him? There were those three things that we talked about, and I'll go back into them again. Da'fu, and this is one ayah that, if you forget all the other ayahs, don't forget this one, which is just here. Let me bring it. There you go. Ayah 14, and you can't forget 14 because it's masumin. Da'fu, tasfahu, wa tagfiru. Those three things, you keep them uppermost in your mind. So that was section 5, and finally we came to section 6. Or rather, section 5 was the end of it. And finally, we came to the section where Allah knows everything.